and I empathize with you. Lately, I've been reflecting on those times in my life where I have felt whole or I've been made whole. For example, when, especially the last months of last year, I'm so far away from home, and when I learned of the progressing illness of my dad, it was not until I actually went there and saw my dad, even though with oxygen, and that I felt whole, like something was filled, like the presence of my family, that I've been there. Or another example is that when I'm finding about the death of a loved one, and this happened to me twice while I was in college, that my grandparents died, not together, but separately, that it's only when I went home to be with my family that I felt whole. Like the presence is very, very important. Presence of someone can fill us, can make us whole. Or the experiences of reconciliation. I remember particularly a friend of mine, and believe it or not, I also sinned. And I got a confession. But I remember that this friend of mine whom I've done wrong, when I asked for forgiveness and he forgave me, that I felt whole. Forgiveness makes us whole. Or in the faults, in my faults and failings, it's not until I learn to accept and learn to forgive myself. I do have a tendency to be a perfectionist. It's not only when I accept and learn to forgive myself that I experience wholeness. Again, forgiveness. Now, feeling whole, or rather being whole, is vital. It's very important. Life is hard enough, feeling disconnected. It's only when we are whole and connected that we truly experience the fullness of life. And I'd like to propose that Thomas, our disciple in the gospel, struggled with this feeling or lack thereof, the feeling of lack of wholeness. He struggled because he was not among the disciples when Jesus first appeared to them. And no, we often ridicule Thomas unknowingly. And in history, we call him the doubting Thomas, right? And we also use that term to refer to other people. You know, don't be a doubting Thomas. But far from it, Thomas was longing to be made whole, I think. No, it's akin to wanting to be close to a loved one in time of difficulty. Thomas merely wants to be close to Christ. And we see that it's in his experience of encountering the risen Christ that he can feel whole and know the fullness of life. That in that encounter, in that experience of encountering the risen Christ, he made this act, this profession of faith, my Lord and my God. It's not because he was a disciple of an apostle of Christ that he became a saint, but it's because of this act of faith, my Lord and my God, this encounter with the risen Christ that has guided his life all throughout, that he became a model for us. This feel encountering in the risen Christ, the fullness of life. In fact, this is the invitation of the gospel. The invitation of the gospel that together we might experience Christ alive. That Christ is alive and that we might experience him in his fullness. Together as a group of disciples with Christ among us, we might be made whole. With Christ among us, we might experience life in its fullness. I'd like to take a moment to reflect together on a recent apostolic exhortation that Pope Francis shared with the church just last March 25th. And the name of the exhortation is Christus Vivit. And fittingly for us today, that translates to Christ is alive. Christus Vivit. Christ is alive. And this letter is essentially written to young people, to the youth, to the young adult in the church. And in the very first line of that letter, Pope Francis makes it very clear, and I quote, "Christ is alive and he wants you to be alive." Christ is alive and he wants you to be alive. As a faith community, it is our continual journey to find wholeness, to find the fullness of life. And we can only be whole, one body of Christ, when we make this journey together. That's why we are called a church. The Greek term for that is ecclesia, or in Latin, or in Spanish, it's iglesia, church. And it simply means people gathered together, a people that are gathered together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, journeying together. We don't journey alone. It's together. Together as a community, with bringing our individual selves, that we can be made whole, because we can find wholeness in one another. But it also invites us to sit back and reflect. Reflect on those areas of our lives where we feel, or where there's holes, like H-O-L-E, that hole, this emptiness that needs to be filled, that needs to be made whole. Maybe in our relationships, maybe in our families, or workplaces, for example, that needs to be made whole. And that we need to, and maybe start to rebuild that, correct that relationship, to try to make it whole, because we are called to live fully, the fullness, experience the fullness of life, and we can never do that without filling ourselves. And Saint Augustine, if you're familiar with him, Saint Augustine, in his autobiography, The Confessions, he said, "My heart is restless until it finds rest in you." We can only find wholeness in Christ. And I think it's very apt that we celebrate today the Feast of Divine Mercy, such a wonderful gift to the church, the divine mercy, that all our emptiness, our longing, the pain, we bring those to the vast and unfathomable divine mercy of God and let him fill us. Let him accompany us in our own journeys of finding wholeness. But the key thing is, let him be involved. We just celebrated Easter with joy. Christ is alive. Amen? Amen. We say Christ is alive. But it does not also mean that it's magic, that we, as we rejoice that Christ is alive, that all our pain, all our sorrows will wash away. It means that Christ, who is alive, therefore we have hope that risen Christ, who passes through barriers, including closed doors, is with us always, accompanying us in our journey. It's his divine mercy, Christ alive. So two things, invitation. To reflect on those areas we find emptiness, wholeness, and start rebuilding filling that wholeness with Christ, walking with Christ. And maybe we can start with confession. Call it the seat of divine mercy, where we experience fullness, forgiveness, healing. Just yesterday, I was in St. Luke for about 2 hours, and I finally had said to, like, last three, I have to go to hear confessions here. I was hearing confessions of youth young adults, they have a youth retreat. Maybe we can start there, especially if we've been far away or it's been long time since we've been to confession. Maybe that's a first step. But we have to do this also together as a community. And none of us can be excluded, the aged, the young, with teeth or false teeth, the wounded, the poor, the outcast, the ridiculed. It is together, whole as a community, that we are invited to experience the risen Christ. And with this in mind, may we never forget the youth among us, whose presence is often ignored and whose gift is often overlooked. A few words to the youth, to the young adults today, here among us. You are not just an important people. You are part of who we are. And without you, we cannot be whole. It is in your participation in the life of this community, in your questionings, in your dreams, your dreaming, your challenges, that we experience the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ alive. So stay with us. Remain with us. Celebrate with us as a community of faith, that we might together experience the risen Christ. We might know Him. That we might together experience the fullness of life to its fullest. My brothers and sisters, Christ is alive. Christ is alive. And may we long to experience His profound presence and peace, not just in our community, but in the world. And we pray that we truly experience Him. We truly experience Him in this gathering as church, this bread of life, this Eucharistic meal, the bread of life and the cup of everlasting salvation. Christ reveals His abundant presence, His life to us, that we may experience Him truly alive. And so we say, Alleluia, Alleluia. And we have a new life in Christ with us today as we have a baptism. And I ask the parents and godparents to please come forward.